Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. New York University's Skirball Center for the Performing Arts is the premier venue for the presentation of cultural and performing arts events for NYU and Lower Manhattan. Since opening in 2003, the 860-seat Skirball Center has been an educational and community-building resource, providing NYU's first large-scale professional performance space on campus. Through university events, presentations, and partnerships, the Skirball Center offers a unique multi-arts performance program located on the south of Washington Square in the heart of Greenwich Village. Michael Harrington is the executive director of the Skirball Center, and he joins us now to tell us more. Michael Harrington, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
How does one become the executive director of NYU's Skirball Center? What's the career path that leads you there?
Well, I started as I actually started in musical theater, started as a dancer.
I can see that.
Yeah. Did my undergraduate performing or undergraduate study as a in musical theater. Went on and got my graduate degree in directing in contemporary musical theater and was involved a lot as a freelance choreographer and director. Long story short, I was about to head into that all the while I was at NYU. So I did all my degrees at NYU and I was working as an administrator at NYU, working on special events, development, that kind of work. And an opportunity opened up, and the university was looking for some ideas on how to utilize this beautiful facility that they had, both to meet their needs as well as, you know, see what options were out there. And I put together a plan, and here I am.
How long have you been there?
About 6 years, yeah.
What did that plan entail, and what have you been able to accomplish so far in your 6 years?
Well, the university had some specific things that they wanted to accomplish. First of all, they wanted to make sure that the space was used as frequently as possible. Real estate's at a premium in New York City, and especially a room that large, you don't want it to sit empty. That's one thing. The second thing was we wanted to make sure that we were getting students into the space and the university community while at the same time serving the neighborhood and the greater New York City community. We want to be a good neighbor.
And have you been able to do that? Has it been primarily successful thus far?
Sure. So, yes, we have been successful, I think. Over the past 6 years, we've gone really from being, when I started, it was mostly an unknown university facility / rental hall. And since then, we've developed a robust international presenting program where I go out and curate the artists and invite artists in. We've developed a family series that we present. We've developed partnerships with institutions like the Public Theater and Theater for New Audience, World Music Institute, and we present and host over 300 events a year.
Wow. So you just take major holidays and some like Mondays off?
And not even major holidays.
Oh, really?
Sometimes, yeah.
What kind of thing would you present on a major holiday?
Well, over the, I'll use the winter season as an example. So I guess you're right. We probably do take Christmas off, but we have shows right around Christmas, you know, just similar to the Midtown Broadway schedule. Mm-hmm. But we've done, this past year, we presented Cirque Elwaz and their piece Circopolis. They're from Montreal, a contemporary circus company. Last year, we partnered with a couple of producers and presented the world's only professional deaf-blind acting company. From Israel. It's the Naligat Theater. It's called Not By Bird Alone was the piece. The year before that, we partnered with Theater for New Audience on a musical called Shlemiel the First, all around the Christmas New Year holidays.
And you mentioned getting the students in the audience is another important goal. Do they get steeply discounted tickets? And how do they find out about the events?
A key component of our mission is to engage and cultivate what we call young adult audiences for live performance. That's the 18 to 35-year-old demographic. For NYU students in particular, there is a $15 ticket that's available for all performances. There's a limited number of those, but they are available. And then we make other, across the board, our ticket prices are quite reasonable comparatively. That's important to us. And we also offer other student discounts and whatnot. And in terms of marketing, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. It's not just what we put on, but it's also how we communicate about what is going on. And so our marketing is heavy on the digital side. We have a really robust social media department staffed almost entirely of students. A lot of online marketing, a lot of grassroots, word of mouth, buzz building kind of efforts.
Tell me about the Visions and Voices Global Performance Series.
Okay, so Visions and Voices is a series that we launched last year. And the idea was to take our international presenting and focus it on one region of the world where NYU has a presence. So NYU, as part of its Global Network University initiative, has three campuses around the world and about 12 or 13 study away sites. Mm-hmm. What we've done is we want to try to find a way to bring the diversity and excitement and fascinating culture and resources available at all of those sites to the New York City campus for a number of reasons. It's the home base, if you will, of NYU, mm-hmm. and we wanted to find a way to celebrate the network on Washington Square. That's what we've done. So last year we launched Visions and Voices by focusing on the culture and creativity of Australia in conjunction with the opening of NYU Sydney. There's a site that opened in Sydney. And this year we're focusing on China because our campus in Shanghai is opening. Next year we are targeting Germany. The year after that we're looking at Israel and so on and so forth around the world.
In focusing on the culture and performing arts of any given culture, any given country, how do you figure out, and who helps you figure out, what will come on stage, what will be able to be presented, what are some of the programs you're offering for, and we can talk about this year if that's, you know, the easiest.
It's an ongoing and lengthy process. Initially, when we identify the region of the world that we're going to focus on, the first thing I do is go through, I was about to say Rolodex, but that's very dated. It's not literally a Rolodex, but I go through my list of university colleagues that have expertise in perhaps in that region of the world. I contact them, start to get their feedback. I contact professional colleagues. I contact artists that I know that are either from that part of the world or have worked in that part of the world. I tap into some professional networks that I'm a part of. That's the first thing. The next step is usually a visit to that country to try to understand a little bit better what some of the trends are, to get a sense on the ground of what's happening in those performance venues, what's happening with artists, what are the trends. And then once I sort of filter through some of that, you start to lay out, you know, what's realistic, what's financially and economically realistic, what might be available. Usually I'm looking 2 or 3 years out, what might be available that far ahead. From there, you know, you sort of piece it all together and make sure that you have a range. We like to have all the disciplines represented, so we try to get theater, music, dance, film, multidisciplinary work represented. And the two, you know, it always goes back to the two critical and key components of our mission, which are developing young adult audiences and making sure that the work can intersect with the academic and university community in a broad way.
You emphasized young adult audiences, and you also mentioned being a good neighbor within New York. Do you get a lot of out-of-town patronage? Are your audiences made up of people that come from outside of the city, too?
Yes, quite a bit, actually. We discover it most with the larger productions. Circopolis, Cirque Oise was a good example. Not by Bread Alone brought in people from Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey. The bulk of our audience is probably from Lower Manhattan and Brooklyn and a little bit from Queens. But for on the larger productions where we are the only opportunity to see that work in the Northeast region or in the New York City region, we definitely bring in audience members from outside the city.
Michael, it's a fantastic, you know, presentation venue. I've been there once, and it's gorgeous, and it's so great. Everything you're doing, it's very ambitious and dedicated, and I thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Michael Harrington is the Executive Director of New York University's Skirball Center for the Performing Arts. More information is available at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.